Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, the second episode, and probably the best way to experience Japan without actually being in Japan. And I'm your host, Chris Broad, joined by Pete Donaldson.
I'm helping. Mum, look at me, I'm helping.
How do you think up these wacky phrases?
I just try and derail the show wherever I can, so you have to think about what my mother looks like, what I am like with my mother. I don't know, it's strange. How have you been, Chris? You all right?
I'm all right, I've got a little bit of a cough.
You got a bit of a cough? You had the sniffles like 3 weeks ago, yeah, it's continuing.
I've got this like feather in my lungs, the best way I can describe it.
Right, you shouldn't have put that down there.
I was like, describe it, I was like, feather in lungs, it was like, oh. That kind of cough.
Were you speaking in proverbs? Feather in lung means sky at night means...
It's really annoying. So if I... Yeah, you might have to do lots of talking and I'll sit here and not...
You no, sound fine. You sound fine. Wonderful. You sound lovely. You sound rich.
How are you, though?
I'm all right. Just doing the same thing I've been doing forever, really.
Top London radio DJ.
Top London radio DJ in Japanese podcast scandal.
Pete was telling me of some of the people he met the other day, and I was like, what? Like Steve Coogan, Liam Gallagher, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. I did Chris Pratt and who's that woman who was with it in the film?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. She refused to shake my hand,
well,
Chris.
I can't blame her, man. I don't think I've touched your hand. No.
Well, she went... you've come off worse there. She said she gets too many calls. Like you, Chris. Because you're an international jet setter like Jennifer Lawrence. She gets too many calls and she refused to shake my hand.
Like Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah. And then Chris Pratt hugged me.
Do you ever get intimidated meeting such people? I can't imagine like meeting Steve Coogan or Chris Pratt.
Well, with the sort of bigger Hollywood stars, you only ever get like 5 to 10 minutes with them, so you don't really have time. You don't really have time to sort of process it.
Have you ever met Ken Watanabe?
I've never met Ken Watanabe.
Good, because if you had, I'd be so furiously jealous. Especially judging, especially given last week's conversation.
Well, you are obsessed with meeting Ken Watanabe, and you will do one day.
We all have to have a dream. Mm. We have to have a goal. Meeting Ken Watanabe is mine.
And I think I have got more chance of grabbing hold of him because, you know, London Theatre Land, there are a lot of different shows to see. He's in London, he's in The King and I. Maybe there should be a little project for me to grab hold of this Ken chap that you're so in love with.
If you get to meet him, can you, like, send me a video?
I will do that.
I will be really jealous, though, and will cry.
Get him to do some drops. But that's the thing. When a big star from, say, Japan comes over here, they obviously don't have that much... as much cachet, basically. People don't stop them in the street and stuff.
Good point, yeah.
I once interviewed... there was a guitarist guy, Miyavi, and I interviewed him just simply because... he was in a Angelina Jolie film back in the day, and I was like, oh, I quite like that guy, he's good. And and he's this, you know, fairly sizable rock star in Japan, I think, I don't know, but he seemed to be fairly popular, maybe in the late 90s, early noughties. I don't really know his era, but
over here,
I managed to get like a good 20 minutes with him.
Wow.
For free, for nothing.
It's funny, isn't it, how like, yeah, different sides of the world you can mean so much to so many people, and yet over in the UK. Not.
No. Well, we were in an indie bar dancing about some music, and Lass came over and said, "Are you Chris Broad from Abroad in Japan?"
That did happen. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, not amazing because it's the internet.
It's still weird when it happens. You know, as a YouTuber, when you look at the numbers below your video,
yes,
like 100,000, whatever, you go, "Oh, that's numbers." You don't think that's people, real nice, really real life people in a room somewhere watching. And so when it happens, you're like, "Oh." A really nice guy came up to me on the train the other day when I was leaving London and said, thanks to your video. He like came over and was like, are you Chris Broad? And I was like, I look really uncomfortable. Like, probably, you know, and I was like, yeah, I think I am. And he was like, right, yeah, great.
Are you a YouTuber?
Are you a YouTuber? No. And so it's really weird when it happens.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. Happens quite a lot in Tokyo now, though.
Right, okay.
10 times a day.
The big cities, right, okay.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, in Japan, I'm bigger than I am here.
Big in Japan.
Yeah. But no, it's a strange thing, and well, I haven't really got over it yet.
Do people sort of think that Natsuki's going to be with you? Because you're Bezzy's and that. Do they assume that you're sort of that? He's your right hand man.
Yeah, they're always like, "Where's Natsuki?
Where's Natsuki?
It's not like we go out holding hands together and like,
no,
down, like trundling through the streets of Tokyo. Like, it's yeah.
He's a busy man. He's got a business for crying out loud.
He does have a business. Yeah. But obviously, a lot of people have been asking me about Natsuki the movie recently.
Yeah, where's the Natsuki the movie, Chris? For crying out loud.
Well, you're in it.
I am in it, I think. You showed me a bit of it, but as
You're briefing it, and you're in the trailer. The first 5 seconds.
That's foolish.
See,
no one's going to want to watch that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going really well. We filmed loads of stuff. Originally, it was a bit of a joke project.
Yeah.
The idea was, like, we had a target on Patreon, we hit it. But I didn't think we'd hit that target, so we hit it.
Mm.
I think I said, like, if we hit $2,000 a month or something, we will make Natsuki the movie.
Yeah.
We'll literally make Natsuki the movie, I think, to quote myself. And then it happened, and I was like, oh, crap. Like,
I have to actually make a product here.
So, yeah. So
I have to make some kind of narrative about Natsuki going on holiday.
Which is no easy task, given Natsuki's attitude towards things. I mean, wacky and weird things happened to Natsuki when he was over here. So for Natsuki the movie, we basically said, I know, let's just go to Europe. Natsuki wants to go to Europe, we'll go there and film him. And loads of weird stuff happened. Like, after we'd been here filming with you, he did an indoor skydive.
Yes.
Because he wanted to do an extreme sport. In the UK, and for whatever reason, did a backwards somersault. Wasn't like a, you know, he actually did it of his own.
He just went
like, volition. Like,
let's go from 0 to 60 really quickly.
And he smashed his head. He came down like directly on his head, and for the next 2 days he couldn't move his neck. And I was like, "We've broken Natsuki." I was really worried, like broke his neck or something.
Yeah,
because he got really bad. So we're filming him walking around Stonehenge and Brighton. And he's talking, at one point, he sees Stonehenge, and he starts singing the Flintstones.
Like, right, okay.
Meet the Flintstones, and that actually happens. He just starts screaming.
That's the thing about neck injuries.
He's going to die. But Natsuki was like, I need acupuncture. So we took him to the hospital. He was there 4 hours. He got some sort of powerful drugs.
Yeah.
Like paracetamol times 10.
Mm.
But it
cordine.
Really...
Smash the cordine in, Nats.
I basically did that. But he was like, no, acupuncture. So we took him to acupuncture and he got loads of needles in his back. And we're just filming him having acupuncture in a room.
Getting needles.
Not even in the plan, like, it just happened. And like, things like that happened on our trip and it just made the whole making of Natsuki the movie quite fun and unpredictable.
How was his neck fracture?
it took him like two months to... Yeah, it's pretty bad. But
he's fine now.
But after that, so we had all this footage from Natsuki travelling around London, travelling around Paris.
Yeah.
But it was just like a bit of a... Just one big blooper reel of insanity.
Yeah.
So we've turned it more into an actual movie, documentary now, about Natsuki's life. It's not just Natsuki going to the UK and breaking his neck. It's like Natsuki's life.
Yeah.
So we filmed a lot more. So we've just been filming throughout the year. Last thing we filmed was in January, and I think it's finished now.
Okay.
Like he plays this amazing song. I think amazing might be the wrong word, but he plays this song with his band at the end.
Yeah,
and it's got a nice ending now to it. So
nice because when I met Natsuki when we were in Japan in Sakata. He loves his music.
He just loves his music. He's a musician at heart. Yeah,
it's crazy, isn't it?
And like, yeah, he loves his music. So yeah, the whole film ends. The whole documentary ends with Natsuki like playing with his band.
Nice.
This song that's been inspired by the trip, and it's a really nice ending. But originally, it was just going to be Natsuki sitting in a chair going, "I had a holiday. It was good." The end.
Yeah.
Now it's actually like him performing.
It's
like light shows. It's amazing. It's like really the best possible ending.
Realizing his dream.
Movie.
That's wonderful.
So I'm just putting the last piece of the puzzle together, but hopefully be out around March.
Okay. Good news. All right. Well, that's an update. That's an exclusive for the Abroad in Japan
exclusive,
podcast.
Yeah.
Beautiful. We've got a couple of questions from Twitter. Can I chuck you a couple of that's all right, Chris?
Depends what the questions are.
Well, I'll give you some curveballs. Gaona says, yo, Bit rude. No. Bit informal, mate. Wind your neck in. How did you learn to edit so good? Any tips on starting to edit YouTube videos?
Well,
Just start doing it.
Just sit in a room and edit.
Get yourself a copy of Adobe Premiere or something.
Yeah, get Adobe Premiere. Yeah. Go for it. Like, yeah. I just self-taught myself.
Yeah.
And all the best people who do things seem to just self-taught themselves in a room somewhere.
I still edit a lot of my audio on Sony Vegas, which is a very unlovable...
Sony Vegas.
A very unlovable video editing.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, I'm afraid.
It's a bit of a mess, to be honest.
Just go off and do it. Just do it.
You can't have that tagline, Chris. For another company. Way more... not salacious. What do you call it if you want to...
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, just do it.
Yeah.
Oh no, Nike. Who have we got here? I'm James says, "Oh my god, you legend, I love podcasts."
What?
"Oh my god, you legend, I love podcasts." So James is pleased that the podcast exists.
Was there a question?
Also a question, yeah. Mohammed says, "What is one cultural tradition?"
Wait, the guy before, no question.
No, he just said, "Oh my god, you just loves podcasts."
He loves podcasts.
"Oh my god, you legend, I love..." If James isn't listening to that,
you've honoured him with the incredible impression, no less than 3 times.
"Oh my god, you legend." "Oh my god, you legend," Mohammed says. "What is the one cultural tradition slash norm what would you bring, export from Japan and bring to the people of the UK? Sausages. Japanese sausages.
That's my go-to word for any situation.
Samurai.
But I don't know.
Sartorial elegance. Everyone looks good, I've noticed. Everyone wears wonderful kind of cardigans and, they just look so tidy.
I think I'm going to have to say sake.
Sake. We don't drink a lot of it, do we?
We don't. Like,
it's a very acquired taste, isn't it? I'm not going to say sweaty, but it's a very delicate taste. It's a sweaty...
You're describing sake as sweaty.
It's a very delicate taste.
Don't ever go into branding, Pete. Don't ever go into branding. I never had sake before I went to Japan.
Yeah.
And it tastes pretty nice. Very refined.
You've got to get a taste for it.
You're drinking something decadent.
I like it hot.
Atsukan.
Oh, is that a different product?
I don't know.
Completely.
It means hot sake.
Oh, the little box.
So you go to...
Oh, because Atsui is hot, isn't it? Atsui.
Yeah, Atsukan. And that's hot sake. In the winter, it's like drinking out of the cup of Christ.
Beautiful.
Even though it's a little cardboard box thing. But
fantastic.
It's phenomenal. And we could definitely do with it here. But trouble with sake is it's very deceptive, isn't it?
I don't know if you've had it.
It does taste like water with a little bit of flavouring.
Oh, yeah, you can get
absolutely
leathered.
And be like, oh, this is an alcohol. After a bottle, it's game over. Like, that stuff's lethal.
I've been in a darts bar. Actually, that's quite a good drinking sake. Actually, darts is a really good example. Those electronic plastic dart machines.
We do love darts.
I would definitely bring them back to the UK because we have, like, the really boring, non-electronic, you got to count up all the scores yourself. Mental arithmetic after some... I can't even say arithmetic.
Mental riff of me.
The old riffles. The Atsui riffles. The hot arithmetic that I do every night. Those kind of... In Japan. If you're in the US, I think that a lot of the machines are electric there. Electric? Electronic. But in the UK, we just use the cork and the metal, and it's dull.
Primitive.
But in Japan, there's screens and kind of linked together and you can play on the internet against other people.
Yeah, so you do it.
In Japan.
While you're doing it, it finds a player the other side of Japan.
Yeah.
And their face comes up on the screen.
It's crazy, isn't it?
And you've got a camera and they can see you. It's the future.
That's so badass. That is so badass. Well, we'll finally for now, another message. Triggered... I'm reading the katakana here. Triggered... Tricado Hikaru.
Sounds like a Harry Potter spell.
I think it's triggered Hikaru.
Avada Kedavra.
Please show more delicious food. High five emoji. Actually, what's your favourite Japanese meal, Chris?
My favourite Japanese meal. This is the most difficult question. No, it's not. It's easy. Yakitori.
Yakitori. Is chicken, is it? No.
Yeah.
Like fried...
like grilled meat.
Right.
On a skewer. Skewered meat. Now, yes. That sounds bad, right? Skewered meat. Oh, it's just meat on a skewer. But... yakitori in Japan. Natsuki and I used to go and get it every Thursday.
All right.
We meet up for Thursday, have yakitori. And it's like, you get like chicken and pork and beef. Lovely cuts of beef, pork, chicken.
Yeah.
Marinated to perfection. Put on a skewer and slowly cooked and grilled.
Beautiful.
And it's so juicy and it goes so well with sake.
I reckon
you can eat so much because it comes, you get plates of like 4 skewers. You can work your way through it.
And also, like, people sort of talk about Japan being very expensive. The flights are obviously very expensive and the hotels can be as well. one of the things that like people don't talk about, the booze is expensive comparatively with the US and the UK and Europe, but the food. Having a meal is actually fairly inexpensive. You can save a bit of money.
Yeah, it certainly can
eating cheap. And things like bar snacks and stuff that are always there. Every bar does a little menu with something, a little bit of yakitori, a little bit of something.
Yeah. I mean, a bowl of ramen's, what, 800 yen?
Yeah. So what's that? £5?
£5.
And that is that will do you for a day. That'll do you for most of the day for me. I'm a two bowls of ramen guy maximum. That's crazy talk.
Does it knock you out? I find if I have a bowl, it has to be in the evening.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm buggered.
Yeah. It's a little bit heavy for me. But yeah. So shall we talk a little bit about food? Is Japanese food good for you? Because we talk about it being very healthy, but when I go, on the rare occasion I go, I very much spend most of my time eating in the konbini, the convenience stores, the 7-Elevens, the Lawsons. I just eat buns and fried chicken and yakitori and those little kind of baths with the weird vegetables in. So, oh, lovely. It's like here and in the US, you would not eat food from an off license.
No, like yeah,
that would be madness.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Convenience stores have some of the best food you're going to find in Japan.
It's so crazy.
Especially, yakitori, buns. I used to live in a tiny little apartment in Sendai, and I had all my food just came from two convenience stores: Family Mart and Sunkus. And I would just sort of walk down the evening, get like a lasagna. Thing lasagna in a bag.
lasagna in a bag. Put some lasagna in a carry bag, please,
and
just in the bottom, and I'll just poke a hole in the bottom of it and just kind of like pipe it into my mouth.
That imagery.
What an image!
Isn't going to get out of my head, but like, convenience store food is good.
It's crazy, but
it's microwaved as well. That's a really important point.
Yes,
lots of ready meal food is microwavable, but good.
Yes,
like, my image of microwave food is awful because as a student. Living in the UK, get like a lasagna or a fish pie, microwave it, it's just like this goofy box of awful. But
if you have it, the aforementioned Atsui, we'll learn a bit of Japanese, Chris. If you have it Atsui des.
Atskan.
Atskan. That's the sake.
All right, right. See, you won. Right. You win the Japan one.
Yes. I knew it. If you have it hot, like. That's a really good way to save money as well, because eating from the convenience food, it's decent food and it's very cheap. Cheaper than a restaurant.
Yeah, it's like 300 yen for a lasagna, if I think I remember.
Beautiful.
Quality.
You and that carrier bag lasagna.
Yeah, that's how I live. But no, I'm trying to lose weight this year. It's my big plan.
Right, okay.
For 2018.
Oh, what the fuck? You forgot what year it was.
So it takes me a year to remember what year it is.
You've flown halfway around the world and you don't know what year it is. It's wonderful.
Shocking. The idea is to. Make a series about losing weight in Japan. I've done it before, went down really well.
Yes, okay.
I learned about how to lose weight, and I made a bet with someone to lose 10 kilograms in 10 weeks, right? For Ichiman-en.
Ichi?
10,000 yen.
Right,
about,
okay.
About £70, $100.
Yes, okay.
I failed the bet, but I still lost 8 kilograms.
That's pretty
and
good.
And I like the way you were looking confused a minute ago, because you're like, what's that? Because in the UK we use stone, right?
Yes, yeah.
And I
yeah.
can't tell you, unfortunately.
No, what is 80 kilograms? It's a significant amount.
Well, I'm 85 kilograms.
Right.
I weighed myself today. I'm 85 kilograms, which is about 13 and a half stone.
Right, okay.
Which is, The reason I want to lose weight, though, is because I start walking upstairs, and by the end I'm, like, tired. And that's not good.
You're a young man, Chris.
I'm a young man, and I am a young man. And there was a time when I could climb Mount Fuji. And now I look at it and I feel like tired just by looking at the damn thing. I go past it.
I watched your Mount Fuji video and you did not look that sprightly getting up that valley, Chris.
Well, true. It was a hell of a challenge. Don't climb Mount Fuji. Do it once.
Okay.
They say a wise man climbs Mount Fuji once, an idiot climbs it twice. I don't know if it's word for word that, but the idea is you have to go up it once.
Yes, okay.
But you never need to do it again.
Whenever I've gone, it's always been like kind of late September time, so it's. You're
too
not allowed.
Yeah,
too late.
It's already like snowed on by then.
The first time I went in I think August, which was foolish, really bloody foolish. Actually, even more foolish than that, I went to LA. I had 2 weeks off. I did a week in LA and then a week in Japan because I thought. Didn't even bother looking at a globe or nothing. I thought that would cut off half the journey to Japan, Chris.
Oh.
That's just basically two sets of really horrible jet lag.
Couldn't be further at all. There's a little globe next to me here in the office. And, one look at that would have told you a very different story.
I'm such an idiot.
What a
bloody idiot. If I'd gone the other way...
Do you plan to climb Mount Fuji? Ever? Is it on your bucket list?
Well, it just seems every video I watch is like just people sort of walking with like old ladies and that kind of. It doesn't. I'm not a big climber at the best of times.
Yeah.
If you could guarantee a beautiful sight, because at most times when you sort of you can see on a clear day from Shinjuku, you can see Mount Fuji if you need to. But
true,
it's frequently never. It's never that clear, is it?
I actually only saw Mount Fuji for the first time a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
When I climbed it, I didn't see it, as you'd expect.
Didn't bring a mirror, mate, idiot.
I'd never really seen it before until then. It's an amazing-looking mountain, volcano, but you don't appreciate it when you're on it, really.
No.
And the view, I don't know.
It's not really...
I climbed throughout the night for the morning sunset, and it's ruined by everyone just screaming.
What, because they're excited about... Did Japanese people start with the morning scream?
Mount Fuji is like a theme park attraction.
Yes.
Because it's only open for like 3 months of the year, everybody goes.
Yeah, okay.
And by the time you get to the top, there's a queue for like an hour. Mm. Like I climbed to 3,700 metres. Mm. Last 100 metres took like 2 hours.
Because so much congestion.
You're in a queue and you're not even moving at some points. You stop and wait, like you're going to the fish and chippy or you're going to a ramen shop or something. It's awful.
Yeah. And then you see like vending machines and stuff.
Exactly.
And you're going, ah.
It is a theme park attraction. And then you get there, and there's 1,000 or 2,000 people, whatever.
Mm.
And the sun comes up, and everyone just goes, Sugo!
It's
literally,
the sun.
Sugo! Which means incredible.
Right.
Thousands of people singing it. Shouting it out loud.
Everybody shouting, that's amazing, pretty much. Like, that's such a weird thing to see. Oh, like, amazing.
I mean, that is a sight in itself. That's worth going up Mount Fuji for. To see 1,000 people shouting at the sun.
Sugoi, the sun. You've seen the sun before, mate. Wind it in.
I'm glad I did it. Yeah. I didn't think I'd ever do it. It's a great experience. Won't ever do it again.
But it's not going to be in your keep fit plan, presumably. Climbing Mount Fuji,
it's not
going to
be my keep
again.
Fit plan, no. In fact, probably little exercise.
No.
But the idea behind the
keep flipping, man.
The idea behind the weight loss series part two is to just show like eating in Japan, like the idea behind dieting and stuff.
Yes.
Truthfully, you know, there's a misconception Japanese food's healthy, but it is. But if you go out to like an izakaya or something, it really isn't.
No, exactly.
You're looking at fried food everywhere. Yeah. It's not healthy at all.
What's that fried vegetable stuff? Just fried vegetables or sliced
tempura.
Tempura. So like tempura is like that's about as unhealthy as
a lovely healthy carrot, and then batter it, make it 2,000 calories. I'm not going to complain. It tastes bloody brilliant.
No, it does. It's just that's the thing over here. I think we think that people eat sushi every day. They don't eat sushi.
Yeah, Japanese people eat sushi, I'd say, about once a month.
It's mad, isn't it?
It is mad.
If you said to anybody, what do Japanese people eat?
Sushi,
it's their national dish.
I eat it about once a week because I've got a little sushi restaurant next to my apartment.
Right, okay.
And it's reasonably good sushi.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to, apparently. High mercury content, all this rubbish.
Oh, what, the fish and stuff? Yeah. Is it because of the fish?
Apparently it's actually quite bad for you.
What, the sashimi?
I'm looking at a scale, it's like, how much mercury is in tuna? And it's like, there's like a health warning, don't eat once a week or something.
Oh, no, I eat so much of it.
Avoid it.
That's a disaster.
Otherwise, you'll get mercury poisoning, whatever that is. But, they only eat it once a month.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's kind of healthy.
But
you've got a lot of rice.
A lot of rice. I mean, again, it's quite carb heavy, isn't it?
As
it goes, but it's still a lot better than any other food that, you know, world.
Yeah, and I mean, I actually had sushi today in London briefly at Itsu.
Not great. I mean, it's a high
fast
street
sushi.
It's a high street fast food sort of place.
The problem with bad sushi in the UK, I've worked out what it is. Mm. It's the rice.
Well, the rice is
the fish was all right. They always cock up the rice.
It was always
good sushi. The rice needs to kind of break apart in your mouth. It's not hard or dry. It's always really hard and dry.
It never sounds that rice wine vinegar sort of taste.
That's right.
Like, it's not strong enough.
Like, sushi is actually very much to do with the rice itself.
Yeah,
like, a lot of people don't know that, but it's basically the rice.
Yeah,
is the sushi. almost.
Right. Because we went...
The fish itself is sashimi, raw sliced fish.
Mm.
But sushi is the rice. And that is something that they always mess up here.
You can probably hear my stomach rumbling right now.
I'm hungry talking about it. I don't know why.
We went for sushi in the place that we went to, in wherever we went to. And the guy was behind, like the Don, whoever the guy is who makes a sushi, he was like just making it with his hands, like smacking his hand together.
What is it? We got fish eggs or something.
Oh, we got some really fancy caviar stuff, like really high grade sushi with cod roe,
yeah.
But like the poshest kind of sushi.
Did you eat it?
I ate it. It's a bit kind of greasy and smoky, but I'm not a big kind of... I like my seafood, but I'm not a big kind of fish egg kind of fan, to be honest. I'll eat it if it's there.
It's like drinking cod liver oil or something.
Yes, that's
yeah,
exactly.
I didn't like that. I actually remember that horrible bitter taste of the cod roe.
We were quite hungover, to be fair. it was just weird that like the guy behind the right in front of you is making the sushi and like making that noise, slamming his hand together and making the balls of rice, and then just putting them on a plate in front of you, and you put it
it's
in
beautiful.
Your mouth. It is beautiful, but it is a bit like. I've just mashed this
hands.
Up in my
hand.
I know. I've just mashed this up, and now you put this in your mouth. Now it's a bit like
fair point.
I need one more step in between. I think it's fair to say. But the one thing I noticed that your mate, who is also a Don, he wasn't using chopsticks. He was just using his hand to dip.
You take the sushi, you dip it upside down, fish first.
Right.
Get a little bit of soy sauce on the fish, and then you go. Don't ever get the rice in the soy sauce.
Is that true?
Yeah, well, it tastes awful if you do.
Well,
because it soaks in, it just ruins the flavour of the rice. Always turn it over. And I think you did actually put the rice down, and I lectured you for half an hour.
Fell to pieces.
Rice down. Don't ever do
Get
that anymore.
Get him out of here. There's a rice down.
Sushi first.
Three.
Fish first. Job done. Tastes beautiful.
Have you tried, apart from Itsu, have you tried many sort of places in London, kind of Japanese food-wise?
Yeah, so when we're over here filming Natsuki the movie, we tried to make a video about Natsuki reviewing different Japanese restaurants.
Right.
We went to Wagamama's.
Yes.
That didn't go down well.
Is that even Japanese? It's sort of like, it's kind of Japanese fusion. Right.
But I don't think we went to a single restaurant that did Japanese food well.
Yeah.
UK just bungles it, unless you go to a really upmarket place.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in America you can actually get good sushi.
Yeah,
a lot of my American friends say that sushi's easy to get hold of.
Well, they do, like, kind of... they invented a lot of stuff, didn't
California
they?
California kind of, roll, yeah.
And I think Mexico's quite good at it as well, weirdly enough. There's, like, Mexican kind of... But, I mean, whatever sushi you get, they're going to cover it in bloody mayonnaise and, like, kind of to make it
taste
tastes amazing, but you're just eating mayonnaise, effectively.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like the real thing, often.
No, it really doesn't. I went to a really fancy restaurant in London, and Piccadilly seems to have a lot of Japanese restaurants, but they've got like a Japanese restaurant that does the Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
I tried Wagyu beef for the first time with you.
I can never
eat another bit of beef now.
The tears of joy leaking from your eyes.
It might have been oil. Might have been tears. Either way, it was
so
bloody lovely. Like, just melt in your mouth. Wow. And this place also did Wagyu beef, and it was nice, but I mean, it was like best part of 80 quid for about three chunks of beef. But
yeah.
It was similar, but not as good. Not as good.
Japanese beef's hard to come by outside Japan. That price, I mean... Yeah.
Do you find much... I was sort of thinking of, like, this would be pretty good... You know, like, down sort of Harajuku, they always have, like, popcorn stands that people queue around the block for because it's new and it's novel and it's... and the creperies, because it's French. People in Tokyo love France, blah, blah, blah. I was thinking that there's this place that does these kind of roasted... They're like huge roasts, basically. Mm. You know, like a London Sunday roast, basically. But they put it in a big Yorkshire pudding, which is like a fried kind of pancake, big pancake thing. But they do it in... It's a bit... Again, it's like a bit like a crepe. But they make it into a big kind of... burrito. So they call it a Yorkshire pudding burrito. So it's a big Yorkshire pudding with all the gravy, all the roast, all the meat inside, and they make a burrito out of it. Very greasy on the outside, but I was thinking that would be a smash out there. A smash.
Potentially. Yorkshire puddings in Japan. Yeah. I wonder what that is.
No,
batter.
Exactly. Just a lot of batter. Well, they're batter stuff. But also, like, is it really hard to find sort of good British... Not there's not much British good British food anywhere. Like, finding British food in Japan must be quite hard.
No. I know one place that does fish and chips properly.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's easy to get fish and chips in Japan. They're like, it's just fish and chips, but it's not.
Right.
It's like a battered rubbish. Like, it's awful. And then found roast dinners at a pub.
Okay, they did
only
a
2 months
rust.
Ago.
Okay,
took me 5 years to find that. But yeah, no, they have a Japanese people laugh in the face of British cuisine.
As they should.
Most countries do.
As they should.
But it's not that bad.
It is pretty bad. Cheese. It's just put gravy on it, put cheese on it. It's just
sausages.
You're just making the best of like some really poor raw ingredients, I think.
I suppose. I mean, I do think it is easier to lose weight in Japan, though.
Yes.
The food is less refined. Mm. You know, you can get like a bucket of tofu for like a penny, which we can't do here to my knowledge. But I remember when I came back to Japan for the first time in 2.5 years, I went to a supermarket and I was just in the UK, I was shocked at how many more aisles there were in a British supermarket and what was in those aisles.
Right.
And it's a lot more processed, like crisps, chips,
yeah,
biscuits, things like that, which obviously do exist in Japan, but aren't half, like, there's far less in quantity.
Mm. There's, like, one brand that covers the whole gamut, basically.
Yeah, whereas in Japan, they've got, like, 3 aisles just for fish.
Right,
yes. Fish is, like, the number one meat they eat.
Mm.
So, yeah, I do think it's easier to live a healthier lifestyle, a healthier diet in Japan. Even though I put on weight there the first 3 years I was there, because I ate out.
Yeah.
If you don't eat out, you can lose weight quite easily.
Yeah, but then you got to cook, haven't you?
You do have to cook.
I live alone, it's boring. So
yeah.
I noticed that the Hub, you know the Hub chain pubs, is like kind of, they're like British, but you can tell.
If you're someone going to Japan and you need a quick drink, go to a Hub. It's like it's a British pub chain, I'll say yeah. British in inverted commas. It's not really.
So it's like, you know, like when people go, when Brits go abroad, they always go to like a kind of like stereotypical Irish pub and they and they demand like the Sun newspaper because we don't travel very well, the British. The Hub, the Hub pub chain of pubs is like what a Japanese person thinks a pub is in London or in England.
Yeah.
But it's not quite, and it's charming in its own way. You know what I mean?
I remember when I went in the first time, there used to be leaflets just talking to like Japanese customers about what a British pub is.
Yes, okay.
And it's like this really warped, bizarre perspective on British culture. It's like, every Sunday, the people of the UK go to church, and afterwards they go to the pub, and the pub is often built into the church. I was like, what are you on about? Like, there was so much wrong with it. It was brilliant.
I'd be up for that. That's lovely.
I mean, it's a good place. Lots of good drinks. If you want to escape Japanese culture or Japan for a little bit while you're in Tokyo,
Just go at the Hub. And also they have their main snack is hilariously deep fried seasoned spaghetti. So they just take raw spaghetti and they just oil it up, they just fry it, and
it's
then you
the
eat
most
it.
Moorish thing in existence.
It's so strange, isn't it?
You can eat that for hours on end. But British pubs.
Incredible. So we'll take a short break. We'll be back in a second. We're going to go through some current events, if that's all right with you,
Chris.
Current events. How are we?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Sweet chocolate.
Wow.
Sweet chocolate.
Whatever you, I still don't know how you got these.
No,
I'm enjoying them.
Do you want another one?
Yeah, one that I haven't heard.
Thoroughly wash your manly body.
Wow.
Did you thoroughly wash your manly body?
I don't even know where that's from. This happens all the time. I get like sound clips like that and I don't know where they've come from. When you've made like 130 videos, whatever it is, like,
you
there's
kind of
a lot
lose,
to go through. Yeah, it's quite scary. Really.
There was a wonderful new story that you pointed out to me, the anime girl on YouTube.
Oh my lord, yeah. So, I mean, there was a guy...
I'm sort of not that aware of, I think as we discussed last week, I'm not that into Japanese music or film or anything, or anime or stuff, so I don't really know. But that kind
of... A bastion of information on the phone. What a ridiculous man.
There's this virtual kind of anime girl, or this kind of like, these false, fake cartoon idols that people get into. You know, they have fans and stuff like that, so they're
of course,
of either three-dimensional or two-dimensional kind of manga characters that people get into, basically.
Yeah, and there was this guy who had... He did it, basically. He pretended to be this attractive girl.
Yeah, this attractive cartoon lady.
Cartoon girl. And then...
who had, like, loads of fans.
Yeah,
so this character was this kind of, like, pre-recorded kind of, like this kind of young kind of cartoon lady. Loads of fans, male, female, big situation on YouTube and beyond. And he did, like, a kind of, I think, like, some kind of live performance with this character. And he had... You know, like with a Snapchat filter, if you sort of move your head away, it sort of disappears.
And the face goes away.
The face goes away and you're just left with your face gurning to the camera. Similar sort of situation with this guy. He was pretending to be this this beautiful kind of anime character.
I know where this is going.
And doing the lovely voice. And doing the voice and trying to be all cute and say, oh, hi, gozaimasu.
That's exactly what he sounded like.
just like that, wasn't it? Just like that. And something went wrong with the virtual woman, and she disappeared. And the face behind it was this,
like, 30-year-old bloke,
older than that. Surely he looked middle aged.
He did look quite middle aged.
Wonderful, just kind of looking down the camera lens, going, "Oh, game's up."
Oh god, so many dreams were shattered that day. Can you imagine the disappointment? Like, yeah, crikey. And
incredible.
The backlash was significant, I think.
Yeah,
everyone
got very
pissed off at him. I mean, I can't blame him for trying.
No, but also...
I don't know what he was expecting, though. Well, I mean, surely he was going to get found out at some point.
Well, damn right. And presumably people would assume that it was somebody making it, but I think they probably presumed it was a woman because the guy's voice was very female. It was a very female voice. He'd done a lovely job. Look, he'd done a lovely job. Things didn't go well on that live stream, but people were sort of defending him and her, in turn, sort of saying, well, you know, it's just like a... It's like an anime cartoonist or like a manga
Bart
cartoonist.
Simpson, sort of voiced by a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But somebody just draws it, the cartoon character. People get into it and people get obsessed by it, and then they have it on the old love pillows, etc. So
it's a dangerous thing, though, isn't it?
It is a dangerous thing.
Investing in a character and having the whole thing shattered like that.
Just don't do the voice. If it wasn't him doing the voice, I think I'd be a lot more comfortable with it. Because someone has to control a character, it's just this little face popping up. You don't need that when you're in the middle of enjoying your character, so to speak.
Is
dreadful.
Is he carrying on with it? That's something worth looking into.
Do you think we could buy him out? Do you think he'd take over?
Just well, I might give it a shot.
Co-host.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Imagine a little anime kind of character in your videos. That would be lovely.
Exactly what I've been looking for
be
all these
bang
years.
Up for that.
Take him to the next level.
There was a video also of AKB48, who basically went to Thailand. Some members of the band AKB48, which if you're in any way Japanophile, which I am, you can't escape AKB48.
So basically
48.
It's a band, 48 girls in it, although there's actually more than 48.
Yeah.
The idea is, well, I don't know, there's loads of idols.
They're a massive pop band who are massive because they've got so many characters, so many people in the
48
band.
48 people.
Apparently, there's more,
girls.
Isn't there? There's like,
and
they have like tiers. I think they start, I think it's like a school system as you get older and older. When you get about 24, out the band, get out of here. You're alumni
it's
now.
It's a very, yeah, the whole system, I still can't wrap my head around it.
It's
I remember
so
a few
weird.
Years ago, there was a girl who was found that she'd had a boyfriend.
Yes.
And a lot of these girls have to sign contracts there.
Saying
you're not
have
a boyfriend
and
a romantic element because it ruins the image of these fans. And she shaved all her hair off.
Yeah.
And did this really heartfelt apology. And it was really scary to me.
Like,
to me, I mean, to a lot of people
like,
who aren't into that or don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's really strange.
That proper kind of, I don't know what you call it, like attrition kind of
thing. Fixation.
Well, like shaving your whole head. It's so weird.
Yeah, it didn't really suit her either.
All right, Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah.
You're not in the band anymore.
And I remember watching it, this shaven head girl crying into the camera, apologising.
Yeah.
It was really, you know, hard,
very strange.
Hardcore stuff. I mean, I'm a cold-hearted son of a...
Mother.
Yeah.
Son of an AKB.
I've done a good job not swearing on this podcast so far, actually.
No, okay. What, you feel good about not swearing?
I feel good about not swearing.
Okay. Well,
I get a lot of criticism for swearing.
Why? It's fun.
Swearing's naughty.
Well, if Chris Broad dropping an F or an S...
Fiddlesticks.
Fiddlesticks on YouTube is the worst thing you hear on the internet all day, I think you've counted yourself lucky.
I've got this like inbuilt filter in my head. Because the YouTube monetization thing, if you swear, like, you can lose.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that your nose feather?
Yeah.
You got a lung feather and a brain feather to keep the swears out.
We've deviated completely from the AKB48 story.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so AKB48, they went to Thailand.
What happened in Thailand?
What happened in Thailand stays in Thailand. They went to Thailand and they put in what I would say it was a B-grade performance, let's say. Like, not a great
B-grade.
Performance. An AKB grade. They're a band from Akihabara and they got loads of... And there's loads of different bands, isn't there? There's ones in Osaka.
Yeah, a
something or other.
S48.
Yeah, so where are you from? You've got a slightly different moniker. There's ones in Jakarta. There's ones in, I think there's ones in Thailand as well. There's one in Bangkok as well. And they all got those little, you know, a little kind of setup themselves.
Yeah, it's
basically.
A franchise.
So popular.
Band
so incredibly
franchise.
Popular. But it's funny because they went to Thailand and I don't think they brought, I don't think they brought their best members.
Yeah. Turn it off, Pete. My ears are buggered.
That's a 5 out of 10 for me.
That's shocking.
And they weren't very good at dancing either. That's the thing that people got upset about. AKB went over and just
I mean, I'm not going to judge them by that one audio clip, but if I was, I'd say that was
flipping awful.
Flipping awful.
Fiddlesticksy awful. I mean, incredible work.
That was like a 1 out of 10.
Yeah, so their fans are up in arms and going, no, dreadful, get those people out of the band. So, yeah.
Poor girls.
They travel worse than you do, Chris.
Well, at least they're lovely. I'm sure they had a lovely time in Thailand.
I'm sure they did.
In between
too.
All that.
I'm sure they did too. Let's get out of here.
Right.
Time is against us.
Time for some coffee.
You've got to get back to Japan for crying out loud.
ANA flight from Heathrow. 1 hour.
Oh, dear. If you want to get in touch with the show, just tweet, I suppose, innit? We'll put a couple of questions out in
the
future.
Podcast hashtag, innit?
Don't give them confusing hashtags.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Review on iTunes.
Just a quick note from Pete. Since you recorded this show, we have set up a little email address. It's abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. That's abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Do send in an email or a question or a picture.
Wow.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.